Blog Talk Radio.
Imperfect Wives Radio. I am your host, Sheree Zack, coming to you live from Beaufort, South Carolina, along with my guest host this morning, Miss Angela Craig. Good morning, Angela.
Well, good morning to you. I'm thrilled to be with you on this beautiful summer day, and hello to everybody who's listening. I can hear their hellos.
I can hear the hellos. I know I hear the... Oh, goodness. I can hear everyone in the chat room is saying good morning. So good morning, everyone in the chat room. And to those of you that are listening live, we are really excited about today's program. Yeah, last week, Angela, we talked about putting on the shoes of peace versus the shoes of combat boots. And we found out that, which we thought was going to happen, was that a lot of wives are choosing to put on those combat boots. And, you know, we got a lot of feedback last week. The wives were really encouraged to find out, one, that they were not alone in this decision, that they were, you know, choosing the combat boots more than they were the shoes of peace. And, it is comforting. You and I have talked about this before, even in leadership, because we're both district directors, women's ministry district directors for our state, for the Assemblies of God. And, you know, in leadership, we come across a lot of stuff. So it's encouraging to know that we are, you know, going through the same thing. And I know you've had some time to think this week about last week's show, and you've talked to a few people as well. It feels like we have hit a nerve with this topic. Because women are choosing to put on their combat boots. And, girl, they're not even just choosing to put them on. They're lacing them up tight, you know, they're ready for war. But the issue is we tend to fight the wrong battle.
Oh, I am totally with you. And I have to say I loved being on the show last week because I really learned so much, and I'm still learning, and I love being an imperfect wife because I'm in this process with all of you and thrilled to be so, because last week as we were talking and we had this topic, and then afterwards I was able to reflect and read scripture, and it seemed like God was bringing people into my life and then bringing his word into my life that really taught me more about my motivation to wear the boots of combat opposed to shoes of peace. And so there were so many layers of it. It was like peeling back an onion. So what I thought was really happening, there was so much more to it. And so I think that we're going to uncover some things today, and I hope it will be helpful to our audience and that we'll hear from some of the ladies as well. So ladies, don't be shy. We really care about your opinion, and it helps others. And so we want to hear from you too.
Yeah, we should.
And if you're new,
yeah.
if you're listening today and you're new, I just want you to know I'm new too, so we're together.
we are definitely getting new listeners. We've even gotten new followers this week as well. From last week's show, we had quite a few women click in to follow Imperfect Wives Radio. If you are new to Imperfect Wives Radio, you can follow us. All you have to do is go to our platform on Blog Talk Radio, just type in the search Imperfect Wives Radio. We are the only Imperfect Wives there, show wise, not Imperfect Wives. And look at our once you come on the platform, you'll see a follow button that's right under our picture, our logo. Click on that and put in your email address. And what's going to happen is each week, 1 hour before the show, you'll get an email from us letting you know what the topic's about, what you can expect, and the direct link to the show. And you can listen with us live, or you can wait and listen in archives. It's up to you, however your time allows. But we are excited to have new followers. And one of the things I wanted to share real quick is with all the changes with Imperfect Lives and Imperfect Lives Radio, we are updating our blog. Yay! And we're excited about that because we are moving to a format with Imperfect Lives Radio to host the guests. Because I have realized, I have known for a long time that my voice is not the only voice out there that needs to be heard where marriage is concerned and where struggles and imperfectness and, you know, there's so many voices that need to be heard. And so going forward, we're going to have guests on just like Angela, my sweet friend Angela, who is with us today. And we've got some authors that we're getting lined up and some voices within marriage counseling that you really need to hear. And we're going to be hitting some other areas too, including we've got Kelly Bloom that we're getting set up. She's going to be coming on to talk about entrepreneurship because the Proverbs 31 wife is a entrepreneur. Angela,
I love that.
She's a sale, and she's able to buy it from the money that she has made from the things that she sold. So you're going to see lots of new things at imperfectlife.org. And our website, the new website, will be up next week. So if you haven't gotten on board yet, we hope that you will. Share your thoughts with us and your ideas because we want to hear them. Again, I'm not the only voice. Angela's not the only voice. None of us are. But if you put us all together collectively, then we know that we are confident that we are going to be able to reach every wife that needs to hear what's going on. So. Again, share your thoughts with us. You can email us at radio@theimperfectwives.com and let us hear your voice because we do honestly care to hear your voice. All right, so Angela, today's show, we're going to delve deeper into Choose of Peace. So what I want to do is go ahead and get us started with prayer. Would you pray for us this morning?
Oh, I would love to. Lord, I lift up all of these ladies who are here today and those that will listen in the future. And Lord, I just know that you have so many blessings that you want to pour out upon them, Lord, and that today we're going to talk about peace. And that, Lord, I pray that your holy anointing will be on this word and on the scripture that we share, and that you'll open our hearts, Lord, our ears, our minds and our spirits to receive what is of you, Lord, not of Cherie or of me, of our personal words, but of yours only, Lord. And so I pray a great blessing upon these women on this Tuesday morning, that whatever is on their heart or on their mind, Lord, if they have sadness or pain, that you'll lift that from them, Lord, and just let them feel freedom in their spirit. Let them feel love from this group of ladies that surround them. Let them have prayer support. And let them just feel a transformation happening in the very moment that I speak, Lord, because your power is ever present. And so we thank you, Lord, for being with us, even though we can't see you, Lord, that our faith will increase and that we will learn that we, even though we are imperfect, Lord, that you have a journey for us to learn and improve in our journey and to be more like Jesus so others will know you. And so let us just walk in peace today and not combat boots and learn more about being in a relationship with you, most importantly. And so we love you, and thank you for this time together. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Angela, for opening us in prayer. One of the reasons why we always pray on Imperfect Wives Radio is because we truly want God's presence as we do this. We not only want his presence, we want his anointing, and we want to be able to hear him clearly as we share. So, mm-hmm. You know, for us, that's our purpose. But for you as our listener, we like to pray because we want to give you an opportunity to engage with God right off the bat. We want you to be able to open your ears to hear. If you're taking the time to listen, we want to make sure that we cover you in prayer so that you can hear everything that God has for you. Because a lot of times, Angela and I both have learned as speakers that as we're sharing the message that God has given us, the Holy Spirit is busy speaking to you in the background, and He's sharing with you words that we never even said. And He's giving you understanding. He's giving you a word of knowledge. He's unpacking, as our friend Joel says, He's unpacking what the message means to you. And sometimes He's giving you something completely different than what we're saying. And it's not that we're saying the wrong thing, but He's using us as a catalyst. The message He's giving us to share, He'll use it as a catalyst to bring you to where He wants you to be. So that's why it's so important that we start with prayer, because we want to make sure that we've given God full authority and just allow Him to be who He is, because He's the whole purpose we do this in the first place. Not the whole purpose, but He's the main reason. And then our purpose is, of course, to give you an opportunity to grow along with us. All right, so Angela, shoes of peace. All right, so I asked you a question last week, and I was asking you about, last week we talked about the difference between putting on your shoes of peace and putting on your combat boots. And we went over Ephesians 6 where it talks about putting on the full armor of Christ. And we really focused on Ephesians 6:15. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. Combat means usually that you need to be prepared for war, right?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I think that, I know for me, I can only speak for me. For me, when I'm preparing for war, I tend to prepare for the wrong war. Does that make sense? I'm putting on
that
my combat boots.
That is so true.
Yeah, I'm putting on my combat boots because I want to, I feel like that I need to defend myself for me. Now, I know as your listeners, as you're listening, you may be thinking of something different. And that is so perfect because we're all different. But for me, it's because of my past. I've always felt like that I have to defend myself. But I'm learning that God actually wants to be my defender. And I can choose what battle to walk into. There's also that old saying, Angela, you've made a mountain out of a molehill. They should have put my picture next to that. Because I got so good at making mountains out of molehills. So last week I asked you a question. And I was asking you, basically, what is it that you feel, why do you feel that you tend to put on your combat boots versus your shoes of peace?
And, you know, we talked about, I thought that your question, what we were talking about, the motivation behind putting on your combat boots versus shoes of peace. And there was a lot of things that came out, and also, like you mentioned, our past, our fears, our experiences. We will see everything through our own lenses. And like, for instance, I mentioned that I'm, as a leader and a teacher, I'm a truth seeker, so I want truth to be told or seen. Sometimes I see things through a righteous lens. And so when you said, you asked me, I think your next question was, could you give us an example with your husband?
Yeah.
And I love being put on the spot, but my example, no. I knew it was coming, but I had so many recent examples of putting on combat boots. I think that was my embarrassing moment. I wish I didn't, but I did. So I hope other people are laughing with me, not at me.
Yeah.
So
I'm pretty sure they are.
So I had talked about, if you were not listening last week, you can go back and listen. But basically, I can tell you the example that I shared last week. We were standing in line at a Seattle Sounders game. If you don't know who the Sounders are, they're the big soccer team in Seattle. And the lines were extraordinarily long because it was the first day the stadium had put new security procedures in place where they were scanning everybody. And this is after the Boston Marathon bombing. So even though we were early, there were, the lines were very long. And so we had my son and his friend, and so we're standing in these lines of about 300 or 400 people, and the game was getting ready to start, and my husband saw a line of people kind of snaking their way in around a fence, and he said, maybe we should get in that line. And of course, I, you know, laced up my boots pretty high, and with a righteous chip on my shoulder, I immediately shot back, you aren't really going to teach our children to cut, are you? I mean, especially in front of his friend. I mean, I was just mortified, like, what are you saying? And then without even taking another breath, I just launched in my little preaching mode of, you know, if Jesus was here, what would he do? And that just ignited the whole thing, you know, because my husband hadn't even acted on his statement, and I was already accusing him of cutting. And so, friends, if you are embarrassed for me, you should be. Honestly, I thought I was so right. I was, you know, I was, I mean, you're not going to teach my kids to cut, right? But when you look at it, what, after the show, I really gave that some thought. And because what happened? You all know what happened. We sat next to each other at that game in a spirit of unrest and tension instead of a spirit of love and peace and having fun cheering for the Sounders. And why was it, you know, I could have thought, well, gee, he shouldn't have even thought that to cut. And really, it was because I made a choice. I made a choice to put my combat boots on instead of my shoes of peace. And I had to really reflect after the show. I had to really reflect on more after we talked through it as a group. Mm-hmm. Why did I do that? I thought maybe because, you know, my strengths of teaching sometimes become my weakness, my wanting to tell the truth or my advocacy for justice. We talked a little bit about that. What were my motivations? So we all have different motivations. And then thinking about it more this week, I was very much convicted that it bottom line, it was my need to judge his intentions. And I had to apologize for judging my husband, because my husband never did act. I was just judging him for something he hadn't done. And whether he'd done it or not, that's not my place, right? And the Bible is incredibly clear about that. And I think instinctually sometimes we do, if we're analytical people, we will judge other people's intentions. So that, I mean, that was my big lesson from last week. So I really am, thank you for inviting me on, because I think I'm constantly faced with that challenge of making judgments. I think we're all judging situations for what they are, like if this is good, bad, or indifferent. But in that situation, I should have chose to see, like Psalms 34:14 says, to seek peace and pursue it.
I think as I'm listening to you, Angela, I hear a knee-jerk reaction. Is that a fair statement, that it was a knee-jerk reaction when you heard what he said?
It was. I didn't think about it at all. I just thought, wow, because our child and his friend were there, and I just thought, I can't believe you'd even think that. But how many times have I said things and not really meant them, but just out of response of frustration or fear or anxiety or anger, I've said things, and of course I wasn't going to ever act on them. And if I was to look at my husband's integrity and his character, he would never teach our kids to cut, and he would never cut. So why would I respond in that manner? And same, I wouldn't want someone to respond to me Right. If I have a need, if I say something, because I do, right? But I don't.
Right.
I don't respond. I give myself a lot more grace than I give other people, I guess is what I'm saying.
I think that one of the things that's coming up in my spirit as we're talking is there's always a root to every response. And a lot of our responses, we can collect them together and find the same root, you know, because the root produces many shoots, right? So that tells me that it's a heart issue. So when we disrespect our husbands, when we jump the gun or we have a knee-jerk reaction, and we put on, they say something simple. He could have been teasing. He could have actually just been sarcastic. I mean, you've been standing in line for a long time. You're doing what's expected of you. You wait in line for your turn, and yet people next to you are, you know, jumping the line. And it can be frustrating. I understand that. We stood in that kind of line as well. And so maybe he was saying it out of frustration. Well, maybe we should join that line. You know, but I think that, you know, Angela, this is, and I want to say this to everyone, and Angela would say this as well. What we're talking about, we are not trying to condemn anyone that has responded this way, felt this way, reacted this way. There is no condemnation. This is an opportunity for all of us to learn how to respond to our husbands in respect, with respect. But if we're constantly, if we're seeing that we're constantly responding in this way, in a negative manner, if we're putting on our combat boots instead of walking in peace, then that's a good red flag that there's a heart issue. There's a root to this, and we need to find out what that root issue is.
Mm-hmm.
And while I'm not saying that you have a root issue, it's just one of the things as a counselor that I hear when I listen to women, and I know that from experience with my years of counseling, if we can figure out, if we can reveal, you know, what that root issue is, then that's going to help us a lot. One of the things we talk about with Imperfect Wives is react versus respond. If we react, that's the knee-jerk reaction. But if we take the time to respond, then what we're doing is we're backing up a few steps. We're praying. We're listening for what our husband actually said. And then what happens is either we don't respond at all or the response is love. Do you agree?
I agree. And I think, I hope that I'm writing notes, actually, because I have a feeling that next week I'm going to be, okay, can I come back and say what else I learned? But I think when we talk about the root issue, well, there's two different things there. Can we have a whole discussion on practicing how to respond instead of react? That would be good. Because
yeah.
I think that teaching, coaching skills, because it does take, that is something you learn. It's like building a habit of how to respond instead of react. And it's tough. And so you might get it once out of 30 times the first month that you try. And you have to give yourself a lot of credit for that. But
exactly.
But that's good. And so I think that would be a good thing to teach on. But when you talk about the root, I think the root for me in all the, every time that I'm messing up in this way, my bad communication, a lot of times with my husband comes from a lack of trust. And I hear this a lot in marriages, and it's not a lack of trust in my husband has never done anything to lead me to mistrust him. It's because I come from, and I mentioned this in the last show, but my parents, coming from divorced parents, we have six marriages total. And so I don't have a trust just in human beings to keep commitments.
In general.
So wow. In general. And so that's nothing that my husband and I have been married 15 years. He's been as faithful today as the day that I married him. And he's different than my parents, my dad, or my, you know, and so for whatever reasons, they didn't maintain relationship. That has nothing to do with me, but when you're a child of divorce, it does affect you. And so that's also another topic we can talk about, but not today. And so as much as you have head knowledge about why you do things, when you react instead of respond, you do react out of those rooted issues. And so mm-hmm. I think when I did talk to other people about last week's show, that seemed to be the root that we came back to, is that it was, you know, there was some marriages that had the husband had done something to break trust. And so mm-hmm. when you got your combat boots on, it was usually a self-protection mechanism of
right.
some sort, is what I was seeing happen. And so it was a way of, well, if I want to speak the truth about this, it's because I feel like this will protect me from pain in the future. But what it really did was break down the relationship, because your relationship wasn't in peace, and he became defensive. And like, even in the simple illustration of the Sounders game, my husband was defensive because I didn't trust him, and and he just wanted me to let him take care of things. So I really appreciate you pointing that out, and I hope that the ladies will take some time and write that down. What's my motivation? What do I think the root issue is? And then realize that God wants us to work on our own selves and not try to fix our husbands, because that's really his job, not ours.
It's we really don't want to put on our combat boots to fight against our husbands, and yet we do. But that's a part of our growing. That's a part of maturing. As we begin to walk with God, and once we come to salvation, we begin to walk with God. And one of the first things that I was faced with was my sin. And I realized that I was so, I don't even know how to explain it. There was a lot of darkness in me. There were so many levels of sin in my heart, and I had no idea. The issue for me was I was responding and reacting, even responding, from a place of sin. And sometimes, I've talked about this with my testimony. Sometimes the sin is your own, and sometimes people sin against you. And when sin is caused against you, that's really where that protective mechanism will stand up. It will rear its face. It will put up the walls. It will create barriers. And it says, no, you cannot come in. And, Angela, sometimes it comes out in the way that it came out with you and the way it does with me when I get in between Bill and the kids when they were younger. I thought that, Bill would try to discipline the boys, and I put on my combat boots because he's not disciplining them, right? At least that's what I thought. But what I didn't realize was there was a root issue, and that root issue had to do with what happened to me as a child. And the things that happened to me, instead of allowing me to develop naturally as God created me to, all of us to, those things altered the plan, the design that he had for me. So when I came into salvation, now that I'm a Christian and I'm learning God's ways, I'm realizing that they are the complete opposite of everything that I thought. My foundation, God began to break up my foundation of thinking, my foundation of self-preservation, and I started to realize everything was a battle for me. Everything. It didn't matter what it was. I was easily offended. I was easily hurt. I walked as a victim. But all of these things, putting them together, are the product of what happened to me all those years as a child. The great thing about this is, though we make mistakes in our Christian walk, God's power is made perfect in our weaknesses. And we can count on him. He's not going to leave us. He's not going to forsake us. He's not looking at you. He didn't look at you on that day and walk away from you, throw his hands up in the air because you made a mistake, because you fell, because you didn't respond to your husband with respect. He understands that you're learning and growing, and he also knows there's a root issue. And he's allowing you, I believe, to do these things, to respond the way you are, because first he wants to bring it to your attention, right? And, mm-hmm. He wants to be able to minister to you in that, which by your own statement and testimony, he's been talking to you all over the place about it. So that is so encouraging. Thank you for sharing that with us, because I think our listeners, I need to hear that. Our listeners need to hear that. You know, I sit here and as I'm taking notes as well, and I'm thinking, there are lives right now that are feeling condemned. You know, we truly do not want you to feel condemned because that is not God's heart. And Jesus said in John, he said, I did not come to the world to condemn it, but that the world through me might be saved. His heart is salvation. His heart is forgiveness. It's grace. You know, it's mercy. It's not the things that Satan would throw at us by any means. And I'm sure you have something to share on that area.
Well, one of the things that I, last week when I was reflecting on this, I think is interesting how I said God brought people and God's word to kind of help me through understanding. And my son is studying Romans with his youth group. And in chapter, I think we're up through chapter 6, but in chapter 2, it's talking about God's righteous judgment. In the Message Bible, it says God is kind but not soft, which I love. And it says, but if you think that leaves you, let me start at the beginning. Those people are on a dark spiral downward, and he's referring to chapter 1, and you can go and read it if you'd like. But if you think that leaves...
Can you say the scripture reference again?
It's Romans chapter 2, verse 1.
Okay.
Those, and then he's referring in this, he's referring to chapter 1. Those people are on a dark spiral downward. But if you think that leaves you on a high ground where you can point your finger at others, think again. Every time you criticize someone, you condemn yourself. And then he goes on in chapter 3 and 4 to talk about how our sins are not counted against us. And chapter 4, verse 8, it says, blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will never count against him. And so when he's talking about Abraham and how Abraham... It said, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. And this was before Abraham ever did anything for God. And so he takes a long time explaining to us how much God loves us and chose us before the foundation of the earth, before we ever did anything for God, before we ever made any changes in our lives. God said, you are okay with me, and that's all that matters, is that I love you, and that the only reason why I ask you to change at all is because it will improve the quality of your life. And so I think a lot of times, like, the hair on the back of my neck will stand up because I'm like, especially with husbands, don't you sometimes just want to say, well, I want him to change. I'm tired of always being the one doing the work. And
right.
And I get that. It's kind of like I'm tired of the one always doing the dishes. Can't
right.
Someone else
That's
do
point.
The dishes. And but the point is, if you do nothing, what will be the outcome? If you do something for yourself to become more like Jesus, what will be the outcome? So you have to look at both those things. Is that God is not asking us to do the right thing for no reason at all, for no benefit. It will benefit you. So you have to say, what is profitable? So that's why there is no condemnation in Christ. And I just love that. I love that he chose you and he's anointed you and he wants something incredible for you. And that's And for me, and that's why he asked us to take that step of faith and just say, okay, I'm gonna try to do something better. I'm gonna try to be peaceful today instead of have combat boots, even if my husband is not, even if he's the one in the family that's igniting things. I'm gonna try to be the one that is peaceful. And so there was some other verses that came to mind about judgment. John 7:24, just because it's easy for me to do that, of I don't, you know, I if they're not going to change, mm-hmm. I'm not going to change. Do not right. judge by appearances, but judge with right judgment. And James 4:12, there is only one lawgiver and judge, he who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you to judge your neighbor? And so I think those are great reminders to us, John 7:24 and James 4:12, just to have in our minds when we go down that kind of my ugly path, that muddy path with my combat boots on, just to remember that it's not my place, but just to let God do that work.
So let's take a look, let's delve into these scriptures a little bit deeper. When we look at John 7:24, do not judge by appearances, but judge with right judgment. Angela, what are you hearing in your spirit as you read that?
Well, you know, I picked that one specifically because it was such a good, it was perfect for that instance when my husband said that line over there, you know, look at that line over there. Maybe we should get in that line over there. It's shorter. I don't remember the exact context. But that was an appearance. That wasn't, for me, that's how I'm taking that verse, because he didn't actually act upon it. And so I was judging the intention. And so it wasn't a right judgment at all. And so for me, that's what spoke to me about that verse. So for you, you might have that's like you were saying about prayer, how we hear God's Spirit speak to us in different ways. And every time we read Scripture, because it's alive and active, we hear something different. But I think what God was speaking to me about that was, Angela, how often are you upset when people don't know who you are, don't understand who you are, but they judge you anyways and by your appearance? And that's not a right judgment. I'm the only one that knows you completely and knows your intention and knows your mind and what you will do and what you won't do. And so, but everybody else is looking from the outside, making a statement or a judgment about it. And so, I turn around and do the same thing.
One of the things that leaps at me as I read it and as you're talking, as you're sharing, is we tend to think that we can read their minds. At least I do. I have thought over the years that I knew exactly what he was thinking, and that's why I jumped into battle and I jumped into my combat boots. I thought I had to save somebody. So I'm not saving myself. I'm having to save someone else. Especially where our children are concerned, I actually became a barrier between Bill and the boys' relationship, and I damaged the relationship they had because I thought I had to protect them from their stepfather, you know, because I needed protection when I was a child. Again, there's that root issue that needed to be dealt with. And coming into my second marriage, this was the last marriage, but my first marriage, the children and I were abandoned, and then a year later, God introduced me to Bill. And not realizing what baggage, what thoughts, you know, what strongholds, chains, barriers, boundaries, walls, whatever you want to call it, I didn't realize I was bringing those into my second marriage. And what happened was I became a barrier between Bill and the boys. And the reason that they weren't allowed to, you know, form their relationship naturally was because I kept being in the midst of it. And one of the things that God said to me was, Tree, you have to trust me and trust Bill. And he said, you don't trust either of us. And God was right, Angela. I didn't trust either of them. I didn't know how. I didn't know how. What happened to me as a child really messed me up, and on so many levels. And one of the most detrimental areas that it impacted was the relationship between Bill and the boys. Now, God began, you know, once God spoke to me about that, I did brush him off a few times because I thought I knew better. I was standing so strong on what I felt I needed to do, which was protect, that I was actually keeping them. I was causing Bill, I was disrespecting him. I was causing him to feel like that he wasn't able to raise our children, even though God had given him to us. I assumed that he wouldn't know how to do that. and I also felt like I had to protect them. That's what, you know, that was a perfect storm, so to speak. It created a perfect storm within my family. But once God began to show me, he was so gracious to me, and because he kept coming back and telling me, "Sheree, you're doing it again." You know, and then the next time I did it, "You're doing it again, honey. You're doing it again." And he wasn't saying it with a condemning voice. He was letting me know, "I understand why you're doing this, and I want to teach you so that, you know, you don't have to do this anymore." I had to learn that God's love for me is pure, that his love for me is unconditional. And I had to learn that Bill wanted to be the same way with the boys. Mm-hmm. You know, it's hard, isn't it, mm-hmm. when you have those root mm-hmm. issues and you don't realize that they are what's speaking for you. They color everything we do and say. Those root issues, their roots, some of them are so deep that they hold on so tight that they won't let go. And it really does, for me, it took God coming in and speaking to me, giving me a word of knowledge about my situation to change me. And I did have to change, and that's just one of many areas that I struggled with.
I'm just so glad that you shared that, because I think that there is somebody out there listening that really heard you and identifies with that and is saying, I think I can believe that God can change my life. And I do too. And I think it really does, it does start with knowing who God is in our life and knowing his immense love for us. And that it takes time. It takes time to really realize that. And we don't have to stay stuck in our past. And I think even though Sheree and I have talked about our past, those are places that God wants to heal. And so it's not things that he wants to have us stay in or keep bringing up, but we're just giving you examples of how powerful they can be. And so when you identify them and bring them up to the surface and say, okay, now I understand why I keep having these patterns of communication, why I keep having these tendencies towards certain behavior of anger or fear or anxiety or depression,
right.
Then we can get help. And, you know, counseling is a wonderful way of addressing those issues. Bible study is been mm-hmm. immensely helpful for me. I think it's been the most transformational thing of my life is being in a group of women. I think I mentioned that last week, probably because I believe in it so much, is just being able to be in a safe accountability group. Listening to your show is a wonderful way to be in a chat room where you can talk to other women that are like-minded going through the same thing and willing to pray for you and walk beside you and say, okay, how are you doing with that today? You know, are you feeling like you're making steps forward? And sometimes you feel like you're going backwards, but how about today? Are you going forward? And so I think that what you shared is incredibly valuable because there's nothing new under the sun. And so if mm-hmm. you're feeling alone, honestly, it's only just because you haven't said what's happening to you out loud. And so it's important because there's definitely other people that are experiencing the same thing. So we don't want you to feel alone.
No, which is one of the reasons for the show in the first place, most definitely. One of the scriptures that we have is Luke 6:37, and this is from the English Standard Version, if you have your Bibles. Luke 6:37, and it says, "Judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven." Angela, as you think about the situation, your recent situation with your husband, do you think that could forgiveness have played a role in this, in your response?
Absolutely. And I think, first of all, that if I started out with not judging, then I wouldn't have ended up having to ask for forgiveness. But you
yourself.
Know, it took me. Well,
I but, love that.
But it took me a long time to get to that point because I honestly felt like I was right. Like I felt like he shouldn't have even said those words in front of our children or in front, you know, in his friend. And so it took me a long time to get to the point where I felt like I should say, I'm sorry for causing that strife and, you know, mm-hmm. communicating that way. That wasn't the right way to communicate. And also it was disrespectful to him.
Yeah.
And to act like that and put, you know, try to put that kind of authority over him in front of our kids, although they said they didn't hear me say that, but I apologize to them as well.
But, in case. No, yeah,
I did. And so they said they didn't hear him say, that, you know, anything about the line. So it was just a whole lesson for everybody, I guess. But it is, forgiveness is a huge part. And then also just not beating myself up about it. And I don't know if that's where you were going with it, but
mm-hmm.
but also just to move on from the situation and walk in peace. And I think that that's important for wherever you're at right now is maybe this isn't about making a checklist of all the things that I do wrong in life, because there's going to be a lot of things that I do wrong in life and continue to figure out, hey, you know, I could have done that better. I could have been a better friend. I could have communicated better to my husband, or I could have loved my kid better. I could have looked up from my computer when they walked by. You know, there is every single day there's something I could do better, and there's something that you could do better. So
Right. It
isn't a let's beat each other up fest. And I am thankful for God's love and kindness and his grace and mercy. And sometimes we just have to pour those scriptures over ourselves, don't you think, Sheree?
Yeah,
just
I do.
Because that's who God is. And like I said before, we just have to say, God, are you okay with me? And if your answer is anything different than yes, then I think these scriptures are very good. Do you want to read Psalms 103? That we wrote
down
together?
Yeah, I do. One of the things I wanted to do was, you know, we're talking about, and I didn't get a chance to put this in our notes, so I'm kind of catching you off guard with this, but what we're talking about is getting to the root of the issue of our problem. So I've got 5 questions for our listeners that I want you to answer, you know, to yourself. And we'll go ahead and post these on in the club. And so if you're not a part of the Imperfect Wives Club on Facebook and you're a female, sorry, guys, you're not allowed. We want the wives and the women a safe place to land, and they need to be able to share without men in the group. Don't worry, we're not men bashers by any means. In fact, we're supporting you by teaching them and helping them to grow in their love walk with you and with God. But anyway, I've got 5 questions that I'd like to post to you guys, and think about these. I'm going to say them slowly, because what they're going to do is they're going to help you reveal or uncover what your spiritual root is. The first question is, are you angry with someone? You know, if you're angry, are you angry with someone, and who is that? Who are you angry with? The second question deals with unforgiveness. Who do you need to forgive? The third question is fear. What are you afraid of? You know, I talked about being afraid of, in my story, I talked about being afraid that Bill would not discipline the boys correctly, and that was one of the reasons for my reaction. Angela talked about being afraid that her husband was going to make an unwise decision and train the boys a completely different path, take them down on a completely opposite path than what they've been on. So what are you afraid of? And then the fourth question that deals with shame. Are you ashamed of something? What are you ashamed of? Is there something that happened in your childhood or has happened in your young adult life or even into your adult life that you are now working out of shame? Is there something you're ashamed of? And then the last question deals with pride. how are you prideful? Angela talked about pride when she was sharing her story. She said that there was pride in the background. You know, that was one of the things that rose up and why she responded the way she did. There was a little bit of pride in my situation as well because I thought I knew better than Bill. I thought that I knew how to raise our children and he needed to learn from me, when in actual fact, God has put Bill over our family as the leader of our home, and I should have respected him and given him an opportunity, to train up the boys. So is there a pride issue? Are you dealing with pride? How are you prideful? Anything we do that is not like God is pride. God has taught us in his word how to respond. So if we respond in the opposite, right, Angela, then, and we know it, because Angela, you knew. You said that you knew when it came out. You were like, you said last week. So how are you prideful? Anything we do that's not like God told us to be, and we know it, then this lets us know it's pride. So those are the five questions. Anger, who are you angry with? Two, unforgiveness. Who do you need to forgive? Three, fear. What are you afraid of? Number four, shame. Is there something in your background that you're ashamed of? And then number five, pride. How are you prideful? Anything that we do that's not like God told us to, responding in the way he wants us to, and we know it, we know we're doing wrong, that's pride. Okay, so Angela, so you want to read, do you have anything you want to say about that?
I love those questions, and I'm glad you're going to post them, because I think they're they're incredibly good for reflection. I think that's something I would take and then look up scripture for what does God say about each one. Now there's anger, forgiveness, fear, shame, pride. Pride is a big one.
And
we equate sin. There's lots of sin that we think we focus on as being, you know, this is a, you know, my husband is doing this, but then, you know, because maybe it stands out more. And it's a big shiny sin. And but then my pride is huge, and if there's no different in that, I mean, so I think it's good for us to examine those things in our heart. And I was just reading the scripture. Let's see if I can find it again. 1 Peter 2:19. For God is pleased with you when you do what you know is right and patiently endure unfair treatment. And then it says Ephesians 5:10. Carefully determine what pleases the Lord. Take no part in the worthless deeds of evil and darkness. Instead, expose them. It is shameful even to talk about the things that ungodly people do in secret, but their evil intentions will be exposed when the light shines on them. For the light makes everything visible. This is why it is said, awake, O sleeper, rise up from the dead, and Christ will give you light. So we want to be a light in a world that is dark. And so I remember Beth Moore reading that scripture, and she was saying it was like, how often do we hit the snooze button on our alarm and go back to sleep? And how often are we hitting the snooze button on our spiritual lives and going back to sleep? And how it's time just to wake up and be the light in a world that is dark. And so when we are examining our own lives and saying, Lord, what are you pleased with? What do you want us to do? And that's in this today we're talking about being peaceful, being people of peace, being women of peace, and not just in our marriages but with our children, in our workplaces. What a difference that makes. That brings the good news and that brings the light. So I love these questions. Thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome. I think that I should probably call my counseling ministry. I think root issues should be in the name because I always go to the root. And I think it's because God was so good to reveal to me what my roots were. And it wasn't until I realized that I had root issues that I was able to start growing and, you know, breaking free from those, and God was able to start changing my thinking, because the root always connects to the thinking. You know, it always connects to the thinking. I love what Joyce Meyer says. She says the battlefield is in the mind, and it truly is. But there's a root, you know, and I'm sure she has said that at some point. There's always a root. And if we can dig up, well, first we've got to figure out what the root is, and hopefully these questions are helping you answer that. Once the root's revealed, then we can start working towards digging that root up. And like Angela said, go into your Bible. One of the things we love to teach at The Imperfect Wives is we want to teach you how to hear God's voice, because everyone hears them so differently. But one of the best ways to hear his voice is through his word. And like Angela said, you know, God's word is alive today. It may be sitting on your desk looking at you. You may be looking at your Bible and you haven't opened it in a week. That doesn't mean it's not alive. It is very alive. And all we have to do is read it, and the Holy Spirit will begin to minister to us and counsel us. But once we know what that root is, we can take that. If it's the spirit of anger, then go into BibleGateway.com on your computer, plug into their word search, anger, and then click enter in whichever version that you like to read from. My favorite is New King James, so I always tend to go to New King James first. And then pull up all the scriptures that anger is a part of. Look at those scriptures and start breaking them down. Which ones, as you read them, are leaping at you? If that scripture is leaping at you, copy and paste it into a document, unless you want to write it down. And then go through all of them and do the same thing. Then once you've got all those scriptures together, start meditating on those scriptures, because there's something within each one that God wants to speak to you. This is how he breaks up the foul ground. This is how he begins to minister to us and reveal to us what's truly going on inside of us, because he does not want us to stay the same way we are. Right, Angela?
You're right. You're absolutely right. And I don't want to stay the same way I am.
Pardon?
So I said I don't want to stay the same way I am. So that's good advice.
Yeah, what do you do? So what is the process that God takes you through? We've got about 2 minutes.
2 minutes. Well, I would say that I have, I think that first of all, I love to pray in nature, and I love to go, right now I really am about going through books of the Bible at a time, so I love to go through books of a Bible, but if I do have a root issue that I'm talking about, I will look up the, like when we were talking about peace, I did look up peace in the back of my Bible, and because I wanted to see what scriptures specifically address peace. And that was a real encouragement to me. But I want to make sure we close with Psalms 103.
Okay.
Do we still have time?
Yeah,
okay, ready, ladies? Because we wanted you to be encouraged with this today. This is Psalms 103, 8 through 14. God is sheer mercy and grace, not easily angered. He's rich in love. He doesn't endlessly nag and scold, nor hold grudges forever. He doesn't treat us as our sins deserve, nor pay us back in full for our wrongs. As high as heaven is over the earth, so strong is his love to those who fear him. And as far as sunrise is from sunset, he has separated us from our sins. As parents feel for their children, God feels for those who fear him. He knows us inside and out, keeps in mind that we're made of mud. And that's from the Message Bible, Psalms 103, 8 through 14. So he loves you and cares for you, and he thinks that you're magnificent. And so do we.
Amen. And so do we. Amen. Angela, thank you so much for guest hosting with me today. I thoroughly enjoyed having you, as always. And if you are new to Imperfect Wives Radio, you can find us on our blog, starting next week at theimperfectwives.com. And if you'd like to share your thoughts with us, email us at radio@theimperfectwives.com, letting us know what your thoughts are. What are you struggling with? Because Angela and I truly want to know, we want to hear your heart. Because, again, we're not the only voices in this. We all represent different marriages. And we love, love, love giving you an opportunity to share what's going on with you. So until next week, everyone, have an incredible week. We will be posting the root questions in the club. If you're not a part of the Imperfect Wives Club on Facebook, all you've got to do is go to Facebook, type in the Imperfect Wives club and then request to join, and we will get you approved. Until next week, everyone, have a great week, and listen to the voice of God and respond. Amen. Bye,
everyone. Thank you for having me. Bye, everybody.
Oh, of course. Bye, Angela.
Bye.